This is Vision for Christ World, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. What do I like? Or as my British friends would say, what do I fancy? Do I like friends that are similar to me, or can I enjoy others who are different? Romans 12, 9-10 tells us, do not just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other deeply, with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. What I like is the love I feel for all of you. Honestly, I do. And my love is not passive. The most loving thing I can do for you is to lead you to the Savior, Jesus Christ, so we can love and serve each other and spend forever in heaven together. Father God, let me show everyone about the amazing love we receive from your only Son, Jesus Christ. May they join with us in this real love. Praying in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Some material from GodQuestions.org.
You can find more about us at visionforchristworld.com. Romans 13:8-10 says, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of the law of God. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of the law of God. 1 John 2, 15-16 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Yet John 3:16 begins, for God so loved the world. So God loves the world, but we are not supposed to. Why the apparent contradiction? Well, in the Bible, the term world can refer to the earth and physical universe, but it most often refers to the humanistic system that is at odds with God. When the Bible says that God loves the world, it is referring to the human beings who live here. And as his children, we are to love other people. The parable of the Good Samaritan makes it clear we cannot pick and choose whom to love. When we are told not to love the world, the Bible is referring to the corrupt value system of the world. Satan is the god of this world, and he has shown his own value system to be contrary to the one of God. 1 John 2:16 details exactly what Satan promotes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Every imaginable sin can be summed up in these three evils. The world often applauds sin. Hollywood encourages us to envy sinners and to foolishly compare ourselves with the quote-unquote beautiful people. Often the popularity of stars is due to their ability to stir in us dissatisfaction with our own lives. When we enter the family of God through faith in Christ, God gives us the ability to exit from the worldly pursuits and goals. We become citizens of another kingdom. Our desires are turned heavenward, and we begin to store up eternal treasure. We realize what is truly important is eternal, not temporary, and we stop loving the world. In John 12:25, Jesus took this thought a step further, when he said, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Not loving the world extends to our own lives as well. Jesus said if we love anything more than him, we are not worthy of him. Matthew 10:37. Some people, maybe you, have been hurt by the church in the past. Someone disappointed you or broke a trust, and now you wonder, How can I overcome this and renew a passion for church and desire to attend church? It happens more in some churches than others. The spiritual health of people in a church and the strength of leadership determine how prevalent and to what extent divisive behavior can gain control. Out of control, it has the effect of a termite infestation that slowly and surely decays the foundation of the spiritual life of a congregation. It is important to turn your focus away from the people involved and the church itself and identify the root cause of your pain, turmoil, and disillusionment. Honestly identify what you are feeling. If you are like most people, here are some possibilities. You're feeling anger, sorrow, disappointment, rejection, hurt, jealousy, vulnerability, fear, rebellion, pride, shame, embarrassment, or loss. Find out what is the core of your hurt, not what someone said or did to you, but what is really causing your pain. Then search the scriptures to discover what God says about it. For example, you may think that you are angry when in reality you feel rejected. What does God say about rejection? He says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you," Hebrews 13:5. "I have loved you with an everlasting love," Jeremiah 31:3. "And surely I am with you always," Matthew 28:20. You truly may be harmed, injured, or offended. You certainly feel it. Those feelings are byproducts of deeper, more important realities that have derailed your passion for God, for His church, and His purpose in your life. If left unattended, those feelings will lead to a root of bitterness that will negatively affect every fiber of your soul and rob you of your abundant life in Christ, if indeed you are a Christian. You do not want this to happen in your life. Giving up bitterness takes humility, but God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble, James 4:6. It takes forgiving attitudes and actions, with no hint of vengeance. Mostly it takes the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through you. And again, that only happens for true born-again believers. Please do not blame God for how His children behave. Do not abandon the true body of true Christian believers either. There are many more dedicated, grace-filled, loving, and forgiving people than not in most churches. Seek them out. Spend time with them. If you cannot find them, find another church. It is rare that you cannot find them even in the most difficult church environment. The Old Testament people who lived during the time of the prophet Micah complained that God was never satisfied. They rudely asked, "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams with 10,000 rivers of olive oil?" It was their way of asking, "What does God want from us anyway?" Some people today feel like all their striving to please God goes for nothing, and they too ask, "What does God want from me?" Jesus was asked once which commandment of the law was the greatest. He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." What God wants is really quite simple. He wants us. All our service for God must flow from those two commands to love. Where it is not real service, it is just a fleshly effort. And Romans 8:8 says that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. First, God wants us to trust in His Son as Savior and Lord. That's the most important thing. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." We come to know Jesus through repenting of our sin and accepting Him as our personal sacrifice. When Jesus' disciples asked Him to show them the Father, He replied, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father," John 14:9. God wants us to know Him, and we can only know Him through Jesus. Next, God wants us to become conformed to the image of His Son, Romans 8:29. The Father wants all of His children to be like Jesus. He brings situations into our lives to refine us and chip away those flawed characteristics that are in the way of our becoming who He designed us to be. As Jesus was obedient to the Father in everything, so the goal of every child of God should be to obey our Heavenly Father. 1 Peter 1, 14-15 says, "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so you must be holy in all you do." The prophet Micah responded to the complaint of the people that they did not know what God wanted from them. The prophet says, "He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." Micah 6:8. God wants us to love Him with all our hearts and let our obedience stem from a heartfelt desire to be pleasing in His sight. Ephesians 4. Here are some selected portions. "Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." Now, let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to pray and ask to be granted repentance that leads to life by God, and to repent of their sins, truly turning away from sin, to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe in you, Jesus, and have eternal, never-ending life, starting today by having personal, saving faith in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our Vision for Christ broadcast began as a shortwave broadcast from a Florida radio facility to sub-Saharan Africa. This is still our primary audience. We have since expanded to Asia on AM medium wave radio, to Albania, North Macedonia, and Greece on FM local area radio, also to Australia and Northern Europe, and that's on shortwave radio. We have just added a radio outreach to the Middle East nations on shortwave from Florida. Listen to us online at visionforchristworld.com. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in personal saving faith. I will leave you today with this text from Romans 5:5-9. "For we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners." Now, most people would not be willing to die for even an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in the sight of God by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from condemnation from God.